Hello, book nerds. It's Annabelle Crabb here at 2SER on Gadigal Country. I have managed to secure the artistic director of the Sydney Writers' Festival. If you are listening to this podcast, it means that her second Sydney Writers' Festival program has been launched. And if you're listening to it after Saturday the 9th of March, it means you can buy a ticket. However, I would encourage you to listen to the forthcoming before you do, because it'll be highly enlightening. Anne Mossop, welcome.
Thank you so much, Annabelle.
Months of sleeplessness, I know, and stress and horror go into putting on any Sydney Writers' Festival. And it's not all about prizes. It's not all about fame. It's not about the big names. But wow, 2024 Sydney Writers' Festival. Look, I'm just totting it up. A couple of Nobels, a couple of Bookers. How many? Uncountable by me, Pulitzers, but more than one. And of course, I am on a session and I won second prize in the Year 5 calisthenics raffle
and
in the 1970s.
The winner of the Stella Prize, not yet announced, will be there to, you know, launch that award into the world for this year.
So can you just run us through some of these giddy high points just to pepper us all along?
Well, we're starting off a couple of weeks ahead of the main festival weekend, because anybody who follows the Booker Prize will have noticed that there was an extraordinary preponderance of Irish writing.
Right.
And even an extraordinary preponderance of Irish writing by people called Paul. So we are starting off on the 8th of May with an event with Paul Murray, who wrote the book The Bee Sting, which I don't know about you, but it was sitting on many under many Christmas trees, on many bedside tables. So we're very pleased that he'll be coming to talk about the book. But of course, that will be followed in the main festival dates by 2023 Booker Prize winner Paul Lynch, who will be in conversation at the City Recital Hall about Prophet Song. We've also got Sebastian Barry, who was on the Booker Prize longlist this year, but is somebody who has been writing, has such a huge community of fans here, because he's been somebody who's turning out amazing books
for a long time. I mean, a real crowd puller. I mean, better if he was called Paul, obviously, but, you know, can't have everything.
And he can only be with us by Zoom, but he's going to be talking about his novel Old God's Time, and there is something incredibly special in that book that we will be featuring in that conversation. There is an absolutely critical point in the novel where the main character, a retired policeman, goes to sit on the porch of his neighbour, who is a cellist, and the cellist plays this beautiful piece of music. And of course, I can't tell you all the pivotal things that happen on that porch or in relation to that music, but our friends at the Australian Chamber Orchestra are coming along to play Kol Nidre by Max Bruch with the cello and piano version. So that will be part of a conversation with Sebastian Barry about the book, which I think will make it very special.
And that's at the Sydney, at the City Recital Hall.
So. No, that one is at Carriage Works.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What a great idea for a combination. And I mean, one of the great joys always of a truly satisfying Sydney Writers' Festival is not just seeing the writers that you love or coming across the ones that you've never heard of that you're really seized by, if I can end a sentence with a preposition two times running. Apologies, grammar nerds, just feeling tired. But you get to see writers that you love in conversation with other writers that you love. And there's a bit of that going on at the Sydney Town Hall, always a giant venue for the Writers Festival.
Anne Patchett, talking about her new book, Tom Lake, talking with Meg Mason, Australian writer that many people would know, books like Sorrow and Bliss. So they are great friends. I think they started out as pen pals.
Really? So they're established pals, right?
They're established pals. So they're going to be having a conversation, which will have the pleasure of talking about that beautiful book, which so many people, again, have really enjoyed and loved to read.
Well, and it's a beautiful kind of conversation between generations, isn't it? Which, I mean, I think will be a great strength of that conversation as well.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, the town hall, we've got an amazing night with Michael Connolly, thriller writer, again, somebody who's been turning out books that people love to read for a long time, who has acquired a whole new group of readers and watchers because a couple of his series have made it to the streamers. So people who have watched and loved Bosch or The Lincoln Lawyer. So he's going to be talking at the town hall. And then, of course, on Saturday night and on Sunday, we have, you know, the book of the last couple of years, Bonnie Garmus, talking about lessons in chemistry.
Speaking about great books that have become wildly popular series, Lessons in Chemistry is just unstoppable, isn't it?
I know, I know. And it's absolutely fascinating. And also the incredible story about Bonnie, which is publishes her first book in her 60s, and it is this incredible sensation. So that is going to be wonderful. Now, we did put that event on sale as a special Christmas gift, but we have kept back some tickets to the Sunday show so that anybody who wants to actually get in and see Bonnie Garmus needs to be quite alert on the morning of Saturday the 9th of March to get in and book that ticket.
Because that first lot of tickets went in about a second, didn't it?
It was one of, I think somebody's telling me that it was the fastest selling thing we've ever, you know, done. We didn't quite break the internet, but, you know, we're trying. And of course, another town hall highlight is the great debate where Annabelle, you're one of the team captains, David Marr the other. We have got a great topic that artificial intelligence is better than the real thing. You know, as a gesture towards seriousness, we have the AI scientist, Toby Walsh, part of that.
I was going to say, that's not me, is it? I just...
But it will be super fun as ever. And I think it's one of those things where there will be an edge of people are fascinated, people are terrified, people are in love with AI, so we're going to be able to talk about it.
And I will be having ChatGPT write my speech about 10 minutes before the event, so see you
Perfection.
There. But the City Recital Hall's also got a bunch of truly fabulous matchups, including one that was such a hit at a past festival that you're rejigging it under completely different circumstances.
Under completely different circumstances. So last year, Sam Neill had published his beautiful autobiography written during COVID, and he got his friend Brian Brown to come and have a chat with him at the town hall. And it was very funny because they're great mates. They're weirdly competitive and have that kind of Australian kind of friendship, which involves saying lots of terrible things about each other as well as being full of real affection. Now, of course, Brian Brown, not content with an acting career, has just published his second book, a crime story set on the Australian coast, and Sam is coming back to have a chat with him. So it will be, you know, it will be revenge, it will be jokes. I'll probably be sitting backstage moderating the questions to eliminate all the requests to Sam Neill to go out on a date with you. So, you know, dear readers, don't pop that one into the Slido.
Stop writing.
Because it's not going to get through. Or maybe we'll let the first one through.
Do you know what? I wouldn't even stick the questions through on the Slido if you come along, because their dynamic is just so beautiful to watch and to be able to be permitted to witness. What's what really struck me about them last year is that they are two Australian blokes who have such a tenderness with each other, as well as this sort of competitive, joshing spirit, that it's just a glorious piece of masculinity to witness. I really enjoyed it.
I did too. And there's something lovely about the fact that they're performers, so they're putting on a great show, but there is this, as you say, this real relationship between them. Plus, you know, they're talking about the book as well. They're not entirely departing from the topic.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I've listened to them mutually read the Yellow Pages, but,
yeah,
you know, yes.
It's a great pleasure.
It really is. Speaking of a great pleasure, terrific book that is a recent release is Julia Baird's Bright Shining, which is, you know, in a, what we can agree, has been a pretty dark year that we hoped would be less dark, is a real tonic about human grace and the circumstances under which human beings manage to exhibit kindness even when it's difficult. And I found that a real, an incredible read this year. And you've built a whole session around that.
And the other person, so it's Julia and Holly Ringland in conversation with wonderful interviewer Michaela Kalowski. Holly, people would know her from her novels and, of course, from, you know, again, the streamers, The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart has just appeared. But she's written this beautiful book about creativity called The House That Joy Built. Anybody who has seen Holly speak knows that she brings that joy with her. So it's not just these special books that are taking us into a different realm to think about things that are really big issues, but that things that we don't often talk about quite as deeply as that. But it's very special people as well. And but this the idea to put them together in this session came from my lovely colleague Edwina Johnson, who had seen them speak together before and saw how beautiful that dynamic was. So it's not an, you know, we're not saying, oh, what an original combination of people, but it's something where they have a real rapport and this beautiful different views on some really lovely things to talk about.
Well, that's kind of the challenge of, I mean, it's the magic of curation of a writer's festival, right? You put people together who produce together more than the sum of the parts of the panel, but you also, I guess, show people a little glimpse of something that they haven't already talked about or thought about rather than what they've been talking and thinking about for the last X number of years or whatever. One thing that I'm so pleased that you've done is that you've taken one of the great books of the year, Wifedom by Anna Funder, and added one of Australia's most distinguished, well, I would say novelist, but he's so much more than that, in Richard Flanagan. And you've popped them in with Claire Wright, who is, along with Anna, one of the great returners of women to the pages of history. And all three of them, I guess, are recognizers vigilantly of the fact that history is never finished. So tell me about that session. I've already said who's on it, but what do you want to get out of it?
Well, the thing about that is Richard and Anna have got these amazing books, Richard Flanagan's Question 7, Wifedom, as you mentioned, and they have both been out talking about those books and including, and both of them have done beautiful out-of-season events with us. And obviously they're, you know, they're talking, continuing to talk about their books individually, but we just thought there's something really interesting about both of those books, the form, which is that they are history. They are fiction in the case of Wifedom. They are about writing. They are about, you know, in Richard's book Question 7, there's this whole thing about H.G. Wells and you know, the influence of a writer on the events of history. So we thought there's something, a different conversation to have about those books. We've heard them both talk about them, you know, in a really fascinating way. But to bring them together and to put them with somebody like Claire, who understands what it takes to get that, you know, that historical material, all of that stuff about the process of putting together this book, but also to look at what do they add up to, what, you know, what do these two amazing books have in common, what's different, and to put two people who are friends and some of Australia's greatest writers on stage together. Again, it's a way to look at it from a different angle.
And, of course, H.G. Wells makes a couple of appearances in Wifedom, in Anna Funder's book on Orwell's wife, Eileen. I think
As a very grumpy landlord.
As a grumpy landlord.
In Wifedom.
But, I mean, it's fascinating watching three of Australia's finest writers and sometimes the challenges they've encountered when they challenge versions of history, because it can be a violent business. I mean, I don't mean violent in the fists flying sense, but in the resistance that you often meet when you peaceably offer an alternate version of events with some of the gaps filled in, and I can't wait to hear them all reflect on that. Now, this program is not entirely put together by you. You've got guest curators that you've enlisted to give the program depth and resonance and breadth beyond what happens in your brain. Who are they, and what are they bringing to the program?
So this year our guest curators are Jazz Money, poet and artist.
Hooray.
Hooray. And Amy Tunig, who I can remember made a very big impression on you at the great debate last year.
Okay. Anne is being so polite, but the impression that Amy made on me was that they totally destroyed me and left very little of me
only.
In argument. And I just, it was thrilling to be decimated by somebody with such masterful control of language and power. And Amy's memoir is one of my favourite memoirs I've read of late. I thought about it for a long time after I finished the last page and what it taught me about reconciling yourself with harms done to you and misfortunes that you've experienced, especially within your family, I think was just so valuable. I am a great, great fan of Amy's. Anyway, I'll stop stop running promotion for that book. But
I think it is an amazing book, and I think they're an amazing person because that book is incredibly special. But they're an education expert.
Yep.
You know, doing all kinds of things. Just in terms of the appeal of that kind of book, one of the sessions that they've put together is called Dirty Laundry.
Oh, great. I can't wait for this.
Which is Amy Tuning, Benjamin Law, Reese Nicholson, with George Haddad hosting.
That is going to get disgusting real quick.
Well, and it's about what can you say about your family, what can't you say. So it's going to be very funny I just think it's going to be great. Both Amy and Jazz are First Nations people with incredibly different interests and you know, have put together things that are so different in a really beautiful way.
And Jazz reaches across many art forms.
Many art forms. And she's got there's a beautiful conversation with poets called Speak the Light. There's a session about black criticism, and one that I'm very excited about because I just want people to be able to have fire at Carriage Works called Fire Talk. So this is First Nations writers, thrills, chills, scary stories after dark, a free session outside around a campfire.
What a great idea. I can only assume that there were like 9,000 letters exchanged with local authorities and stakeholders.
Not even investigating it. And I've just asked my wonderful colleagues to say, like, I've said, I don't care if it's in a 44-gallon drum. I don't care. Can we please just have some fire?
Okay.
And Amy has also done some beautiful programming into our Kids and Families program. So there was an amazing film called In My Blood It Runs, which is the story of Dujuan Hussan, an Aboriginal boy from the Northern Territory who went and spoke to the United Nations when he was 12. He is now 17. He's put together a version of his story for young audiences, illustrated by Black Douglas. Oh. And they together are going to be talking about the book on our Kids and Family Day on the Sunday of the festival. So there are some really rich things. And another session that Amy has put together is about reflecting on, it's called Survival and Sustenance and Storytelling. It's First Nations writers, communicators talking about how do you go on telling these stories? How do you go on as an activist? And it's a reflection in some ways, you know, we've had a year where there has been so much work done in this space. What does it mean and how do you keep carrying on? I'm so excited about those conversations.
Great choices. We've even got a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry.
So Jennifer Doudna is one of the inventors with someone called Emmanuel Charpentier of a technology called CRISPR, which is gene editing. So she has written a book about this called A Crack in Creation. She's also the subject of a biography by Walter Isaacson called The Code Breaker. She's an incredible scientist. So she's going to be talking about,
a woman, even though CRISPR is one of the most chilling things, sounds like, you know, floppy celery in your vegetable drawer, but isn't.
No.
It is about essentially reproducing people.
I know. It's incredible. And it's wonderful to have this will be a big conversation about the ideas behind it and the technology. And I am just dying to see who turns up in the audience because it will be a lot of intense 12-year-old scientist girls who want to know how to do it.
Plus Brian Schmidt probably.
Yeah. Exactly. And of course, we also have Abdulrazak Gurnah, so winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2021, which will be wonderful.
I can just hear some squeals happening.
Absolutely, and I've been talking to some people in our, you know, some of our wonderful supporters. I have had a little tiny sneak peek at the program, and there is a lot of excitement about that. And, you know, I think it's really interesting. People, you know, one person said to me they didn't really know his work until the Nobel Prize. So everybody's been reading Afterlives, which is a wonderful book. And so, yeah, we're beyond excited about having him in the program.
Talking about writers, the announcement of whom elicits squeals of excitement, Katie Hessel.
Katie Hessel, incredible. So, I mean, there is a lot of squealing and...
I'm controlling myself, but others have been...
Others have not.
More,
So she's an art historian who is... wrote this amazing book called The Story of Art Without Men, but she also has a podcast called The Great Women Artists. She's big on Instagram. She wears amazing suits. And so she's somebody who's bringing a whole lot of interest and energy to this conversation. And we have got some gorgeous events with her, I have to say. So we've worked with colleagues at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. She's going to be recording an episode of the Great Women Artists podcast. Katie Hessel is going to be interviewing one of Australia's greatest living artists, Tracy Moffat.
Get out.
Yeah. And then, of course, she's going to be coming to Carriage Works. She's going to be talking about the story of art without men. Ugh. And then she's going to be hopping down to great art destination of the South Coast, Bundanon. So we've worked with great colleagues from the visual arts world.
Where's the Moffat thing happening?
The Moffat thing is happening at the Art Gallery.
Okay, all right. So I don't walk because I will be buying all the tickets to that.
Yeah, that will be incredible.
Speaking of venues, I just think it's worth mentioning that there is a new venue that's really for the festival burst into life this year, and it's the library, which is such an intuitive place to be edging into with the festival. I don't need you to run through the whole program, but, you know, they've had a lot of structural work done at the New South Wales State Library, and you have jumped straight in to take advantage of it.
They've got beautiful, you know, anybody who's been to the State Library knows what a gorgeous building it is, and some of those
really
gracious
rooms.
Yeah. But they have a new amazing auditorium in the basement of the building. You can go in either door, and it's a really, really lovely space. So we are programming a beautiful day on Wednesday at the library that includes a whole lot of lovely things that connect some of them to items in the library's collection. Mm. But also we'll feature American novelist Lauren Groff at lunchtime. So if you're in the city at all, it's a Wednesday, so if you're in the city, if you have a job in the city, you may even be there. That's happening, but there's a whole lot of other lovely stuff around
it. I think we should start a citywide take the day off for Lauren Groff Day. What do you think?
I think it's great. Anything that rhymes like that.
Don't take anything else off, obviously.
No.
Now, you know me, one of my like worst habits as a writer is that sometimes I come late even to the most famous books. I don't know. I don't always read all of the prize winners straight away, and then I feel like a real jerk because I read them late, and then I run around saying, this is amazing. Are you aware of this writer? And recently, I mean, I'm currently reading The Sympathizer by Viet Thanh Nguyen, and I'm kind of, hey, everybody, this is incredible. Of course, he already won the Pulitzer Prize for it, and that's embarrassing for me. But brilliantly, I can raise this with him in person.
Exactly. So he is coming to the festival, which is amazing. He's just published a really a book that I loved, an autobiography called A Man of Two Faces. So, you know, if he hadn't published a new book this year, it would still be amazing to have him here. But that is something that anybody who wants to understand writing or growing up as a refugee or, you know, the refugee experience, the Vietnam War, like it's really rich, it's funny, it's dark, it's brilliant.
What I'm loving about The Sympathizer, and I apologise that these remarks are years out of date, is that, you know, there's so many Vietnam books that are written by Americans. This is a book from the point of view of a double agent who's moved to America and so moves between these worlds and allegiances and spheres of real and assumed fact. And it is so incredibly delicately written and funny and brutal. It's a great demonstration of the way you can read a writer on a subject that you think you've read a lot about and see all these different things.
And I think in particular with those things where we have a particular idea, you know, based on our, but, you know, we think that, you know, say, for example, you live in Australia, you have a certain understanding of these historical events, or we have a kind of a lens through which, you know, we have a large community of people who've come from Vietnam. We feel like we have some grasp on this. And reading something like this just completely blows that all open in the most wonderful way.
Well, of course, some of our most brilliant new and up-and-coming writers are of Vietnamese heritage, and they add something truly wonderful to the world of Australian literature.
And, of course, Nam Lee, one of the most remarkable of those, is in the festival this year with a new book of poetry.
Oh.
36 Ways of Writing a Vietnamese Poem.
Such a great title.
I know. And it's an amazing book. You know, those of us who are not necessarily poetry naturals, people unlike our federal minister, Tony Burke, who don't go around saying, I read a poem every morning.
Yeah, he's talking haikus, though. He's cheating.
Maybe he's got helpers who put them on his desk. I don't know. Doesn't happen to me. It's a really incredible. When you do sit down and read a book, read a collection of poetry that has been put together in that way, it's wonderful.
Okay. Now, I've not read The Covenant of Water, but plenty of people have.
Plenty of people have. Abraham Verghese, The Covenant of Water. He's an incredible writer who has his background, he's a medical doctor, written an autobiography, written a book, a couple of other books. This is his second novel, Cutting for Stone, 10 years ago. The Covenant of Water is the kind of book that you want to plunge into. It's a rich, deep family saga, 70 years in South India, in Kerala. It starts off with a young girl going off to the family of her arranged husband, and all of this unravels. And, you know, the appeal of this book is, you know, so much about that sitting and reading and going into that experience, but also having this view on a completely different world.
I think sometimes the value of truly great novels that stretch over generations or long periods of time actually teach you more about time. I mean, I think I felt that when I was reading Anne Patchett's latest, Tom Lake, and I know this is something that I get from writers like Alexis Wright and Melissa Lukashenko in Australia, who are just extraordinarily powerful. And, of course, Melissa has a new novel. Can we still say new? Yeah, it's pretty new.
Yeah.
Eden Glassy, which is already extremely widely read. Now she'll be appearing.
To talk about the book with Daniel Browning.
Ah, right.
She's also going to be appearing in a conversation with David Marr, whose new book talks about some of the same historical events.
Well, talking about confronting your own history.
Yeah.
That is, that's a great pairing, really. About when time passes and covers up things that shouldn't be covered.
And also completely different ways of approaching, how do we tell a true history, a history of those events in completely different ways and from completely different perspectives.
Okay, now, this isn't my bag personally, but it's a very popular bag, sported by many. The fantasy program just goes off at this festival, doesn't it?
Well, we have Samantha Shannon coming, who...
That's going to be very exciting.
That's going to be very exciting, very exciting. But also, of course, this is something where we have incredible writers in Australia. So we've got somebody like Garth Nix, who has this amazing body of work, for children, for young adults, for adults, and Shelley Parker Chan, who is a former diplomat who has just published her second award-winning
Overachiever.
Novel. Overachiever. And so Samantha Shannon is going to be talking about her work, but also there's going to be a conversation called Fantastical Worlds with all three of them. So, you know, we're waiting to see, can we entice the fantasy lovers out of their, you know, into the festival grounds and keep them there?
Well, you've set out some pretty good bait there, I'd say.
I think so.
Talking about fantastic bait, Celeste Ng, which is a name that will strike excitement into the hearts of anybody who read or watched Little Fires Everywhere.
Absolutely. And so she's got a new novel, a novel from 2023, Our Missing Hearts. So that's just a
wonderful... It's a lovely book title, isn't it?
It's a lovely book title. It's...
As is Little Fires Everywhere.
As is Little Fires Everywhere. Our Missing Hearts, absolutely brilliant book, dystopian future, but an incredible read. And, you know, this is this great thing where we know that she's got a big readership, and so we can't wait to see them turn out to see her speak.
Now, always when we go through this program, we get to the end of half an hour and realise we've barely touched the sides. And this is a year in which there's been an extraordinary amount of eventful development around the world. We've got several major conflicts. We've got an American election coming up, contested by the two oldest men who have ever contested a US election, beating their own record of 4 years ago, which was set by them. So can you give us a bit of a wrap-up of some of these panels that, you know, I think we always feature looking at some of the new angles on world events?
So, of course, and we've got a great catch-up on politics on Sunday with Barry Cassidy, but we've got some big conversations about global issues, one about fragile democracy, which is really, it's got, you know, Nick Bryant with a new book about America, Bruce Wolpe, Roz Dixon, who's an expert on constitutional law, actually looking at this issue in America, in Australia and around the world. What is this? What does this trend mean? We've got a discussion about the, you know, journalists in conflict, but also this idea of war on journalists, war on truth. So we'll be looking at the conflicts in Ukraine and in the Middle East. And also a great, really fascinating conversation about the war in Ukraine with a photographer and a journalist, Anastasia Taylor-Lind and Elisa Sopova, who have done this project called 5 Kilometres from the Front Line, which is how to see the Ukraine war as it unfolds every day, going back to 2014. So,
yeah, I think because we're sort of pelted every day by so much information and everybody, lots of people feel overwhelmed that they'll never get to it all, it does also create this sort of extremely misleading impression that you... If you look, you can see everything that's going on. But of course, if there's no one there taking the pictures, if there's no one there telling the stories, then you're not seeing everything.
You're not seeing everything. And, you know, obviously a Writers' Festival, it's not a news organisation. It's not like we have an obligation to cover every single issue happening in the world. But what we're trying to do is find some of the people who are writing about these things in an interesting way and who have got something interesting to tell us about them. And, of course, you know, that kind of discussion about global affairs or about politics, that's something that there's always... This is a very broad festival that always has those things in it. One of the other things that we always include are, you know, sessions with some emerging writers, and we've got a great conversation called How to Emerge with the incredible Maeve Marsden from Varuna. So that's one about, you know, and a beautiful conversation about the first time about people publishing their first novel. We've got...
And, of course, The Favourites' Favourites is back too.
The Favourites' Favourites is back.
Which is a good way to emerge sometimes.
Which is a very good way to emerge.
To be escorted by somebody.
Exactly.
That, you know,
so you're talking to Robert Skinner. Which
I am. Wow. Honestly, his book, I'd Rather Not... Just picked it up and I don't know, Robert. I've never met him. I'm looking forward to it. Just made me laugh out loud. It's so funny and quirky and, yeah, genius.
And Christos Tsolkas talking to Peter Pilates, Charlotte Wood with Emily Perkins, New Zealand novelist, who's a favourite of hers, and Tony Birch talking to the Graham Ackhurst, who's just published his first book. So really incredible. And, of course, Sweatshop Literacy Movement, three amazing writers who have all got a first novel out. This is one of those incredible success stories of writers from Western Sydney.
That's how to emerge.
How to emerge big time. So there's a session called Trailblazing Women. We've also got the Bankstown Poetry Slam coming to the festival with as a guest Elizabeth Acevedo, who's a US Poetry Slam champion, writes for children, has published her first novel, another incredible overachiever. But also, just before we finish up, I want to say, of course, on the Saturday of the festival, we have a whole program of YA, young adult writing, with, and, you know, highlight is Angari Rice and her mum, Kate Rice, have written a reimagining of Pride and Prejudice, which will be huge. And our kids and family program on Sunday, every program should have a wiggle. We've got one. Emma will be there. But also on Sunday, not as part of the Kids and Family program, but as part of our conversations generally, we're like, women and sport, it's going off.
Right.
So we've got a really great conversation hosted by Tracy Holmes with incredible athletes who have also written about their experience, which will be wonderful. We are going all out to get a Matilda into that conversation, so stay tuned.
If you see one in the wild.
You see one in the wild.
Capture her.
Bring them.
All right, so we've got Olympians, we've got Nobel laureates, we've got Wiggles. I mean, you can't cover it all, but I mean, it feels
like we're having a really good try.
I've had a really good go at it. And so how is this all going to wrap up?
This is going to wrap up with a conversation, an address by Kate Mann on the future of misogyny. Now, that sounds very serious, people.
Hopefully a short talk.
I think we're going to let her talk about the present as well, so maybe a little bit longer. But Kate is a philosopher. She's Australian, grew up in Australia, studied in America, teaches at Cornell. She is a philosopher who is smart and crisp and tuned into the real world, and has written three incredible books, a book about misogyny, a book about male privilege and how it hurts women, and a new book about fat phobia, which she's also going to be talking about. But this will be, she's really an incredible speaker.
Yeah, she sure is.
It's seeing somebody of huge smarts and skill delivering a beautifully crisp argument.
Look, I'd say she is one person by whom I'm endlessly happy to be mansplained. See what I did there? Right. Okay. Well, congratulations on this is an enormous program, and I know how hard these things are to pull together. You've done an extraordinary job. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Have a little lie down, and then you'll be a very busy woman over that week.
Thank you so much to 2SER for letting us talk in their beautiful studio. And see you at the festival, Annabelle.
Get going now. Tickets on sale. Do it. The dates are 20th to the 26th of May.
And the wonderful special early event, 8th of May, Paul Murray. Be there.
See you there.